Like I got a word, you really want to take this one down. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans, and one of the great, great books in the New Testament. New Testament doctrine. And has a lot of good instruction in it for Christians, which I'll deal with tonight. And the message tonight that I'd like to bring is talking about Christian people like us as a church, how we ought to interact with each other. Somebody said something recently, and they asked me, you have any problems at camp? And I said, well, of course, the answer to that is anywhere you got people, you got problems. If you don't want no problems, you have to go where there ain't no people, and you are one. Everywhere you go, you're a problem. And you're living in a dream world if you think a church can function and everything goes smooth all the time, or a family, or a school, or anything. Anything on this earth is got the mark of sin on it, and it'll cause problems. The Word of God is the only thing in this world that's perfect. Everything else in this world has got its faults. And so the Bible gives us instruction on how we're to treat each other as Christians. And I really hope you're listening. Now, I'm not going to, sometimes I go rant and rave and scream and holler for that, and I'm not going to do that much tonight. I'm going to give you some instruction from the Word of God how Christians are supposed to treat each other. Living the Christian life is more than just quitting drinking and going to church on Sunday. Living the Christian life is more than just saying amen, hallelujah, and shouting praise the Lord. And I love to do all that. I believe in all that. And I love to do all that. Living the Christian life is driving down the road and the Lord nudging your heart to go help somebody or do something for somebody and obeying Him. That's living the Christian life. In Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15, we see a lot of instruction for interacting with others. I'm going to preach on the subject, living for others. Look at verse number 5 of chapter 12. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. That's a weird verse. I'm a member of you and you're a member of me. We're all a part of the same body. Might as well learn how to live together, right? Might as well learn how to get along with each other. We're all a part of the same body if we're saved. Now, in chapter 12 and verse 10, it talks about we should be devoted to each other. Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Isn't that something? In honor, giving preference. Honor, preferring one to another. It talks about giving preference one to another. Look chapter 15 and verse 5. Chapter 15 and verse 5. Here's a hard one to do. Here's a hard one to do. Chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded one to another. In other words, I'm supposed to have the same mind toward Brother John as I do Jason or Kevin or Brother Ken or anybody else. I'm not supposed to do little favors for him and ignore somebody else. I'm supposed to treat everybody alike. That's a hard thing to do. You got to be right with God to do that. Your flesh ain't made that way. A lot of people think, well, I'm living a good Christian life because I help so-and-so. And the reason I help so-and-so is just because they like them. Amen? Sinners do that. Sinners out here helping each other out. Matter of fact, some sinners help each other more than Christians do. We're not supposed to help somebody because we like them. We're supposed to help somebody because the Lord's put His love in our heart. See? Be of the same mind one toward another. Look at chapter 15 and verse 7. Boy, this is another hard one. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, how did Christ receive you? Just like you were. That's absolutely right. When you came to the Lord, the Lord didn't say, hey, you straighten up or I ain't having nothing to do with you. He opened His arms, took you in just like you are, and loved you. He did not approve of everything you did, but accepted you like you are. Now, the Bible said we're supposed to accept each other just like the Lord accepted us. That's a hard thing to do. We feel like if we accept somebody and love them, that somehow or another we're condoning their lifestyle and their sin. So we ignore them. You're not supposed to do that. What we're supposed to do is I'm supposed to hate the sin, but I'm supposed to love you and receive you and be good to you and treat you like a Christian. I'm supposed to act like a Christian toward you. That's right, brother. You don't find many churches that do that. Most churches, when a person comes in, they look like, hey, buddy, you straighten up or we ain't having nothing to do with you. You're not up to our level yet. All right? Y'all listening? Now, look at chapter number 15 and verse 14. Chapter 15. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish one another. That means to make each other look good, to comfort, to love each other. I'll talk about that. Look at chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13 and verse 8. Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Isn't that something? We're supposed to love one another. And then finally, chapter 16 and verse 16. Chapter 16 and verse 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You know, back in those olden days, it was a custom in those early churches when somebody would come in, you know, people got all kind of different customs. Some do this and this, you know, and I've seen Saddam Hussein and all them people do all kind of weird things. When they come in, you know, and give them one of these and give them one of these. It was a custom in those days to salute one another with a holy kiss. Now, several years ago, the preacher started preaching against that because the church got so full of sin and lust that they said, hey, we don't want none of you brethren kissing none of these sistren. We've had to do that too, you know. I've seen a lot of times our rules at the camp is boys don't touch girls. But when the Lord moves in, suddenly, boy, everybody, you know, gets right with God and says, God bless you. And the first thing you know, it's the devil in there. It ain't the Lord at all. So we say, that we're not one of these huggy, lovey-dovey churches here. Amen? Yeah, a lot of places where I go, women will try to come up and hug my neck and I'll just stick my neck out like that. I ain't going to say, stay away from me, you hussy. I'm not going to do that. But I just stick it like that. I mean, I've had to kiss my neck and everything else. So in the day we're living in, you don't do stuff like that. You know what he's saying? No, the brethren don't be kissing on the sistren, and the sistren don't be kissing on the brethren. That was 20 years ago. Now we've even had to change that. The brethren can't even kiss the brethren no more. That's right. We are living in such a perverted society you can't even practice this verse of Scripture. That's right. One old guy said, living in an unscriptural situation. That's right, brother. You can't go around kissing the brethren nowadays when people think you're a fag. Yeah, you can't do it. We had to leave off the other part 20 years ago. Now we have to leave this out. So I don't really know what to do about that. I mean, our Bible says it, but I don't want any of you guys kissing me. Maybe I'm just affected by the spirit of this age. I don't know. But I mean, I ain't arguing with the Bible. Understand me? I believe it. But do it somebody else. Amen. Maybe in other countries or something that works here in America. Man, they're too perverted here in America. I've seen some things run around in some churches, brother, that I wouldn't want coming near me. Man, some of these singers and some of these preachers, some of them, they probably got a lipstick and everything else. I don't want no holy kiss from them. I just set the context to tell them it's holy. There's this stuff nowadays that's unholy. So I want to preach to you just for a few minutes on the subject living for others. Many rejoice at John 3:16, but most people can't shout about 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 said, "Hereby proceed we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for brethren." Boy, that's an unpopular verse. You don't hear that much on Christian TV where they get up and say, "We ought to lay down our life for each other." Boy, that calls for sacrifice. We're a family, brothers and sisters. You cannot spell brothers without spelling others. There's no loving others without living for others. You know what somebody said one time? I might as well just say this and give an invitation. It convicts me every time I read it. He said, Jogo said, "Your love for God is equal to the love that you have for the person you love the least." Your love for God is equal to the love that you have for the person you love the least. That's a mouthful. I hope that ain't true. I mean, that's a saying. I hope that ain't right. But, you know, it kind of sounds right, don't it? You can't love God without loving people. But I said, if a man says he loves God and he ain't never seen, how can a man love God if he ain't seen, if he don't love his brother who he has seen? You have got to learn and get right with God enough to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about love them down deep in your heart. I'm not talking about sloppy, lusty, filthy love the world is out there talking about. I'm talking about love that gives and sacrifices and cares about another individual. All right, let's talk first of all about being devoted one to another. In chapter 12 and verse 10, I read it a moment ago, said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another." I heard about an old fellow one time who dropped a notebook on his way home from church, and somebody come along found his notebook. They picked up his notebook, they began to read his notes. And in the front of his notebook, the old man had, "For his body's sake," which is the church. And that old timer had some list in there, and he had one list that it said these were missing from Sunday school Sunday morning. Had some names wrote down. On another page he had asked so and so about the sick baby. On the other line it said leave fruit for the blind lady. Another line said speak a word of cheer to the crippled man. Another line said, invite that new family to church. If you know, in other words, what that old fellow would do, he wouldn't just come to church and sit and say, "All right, what am I going to get out of it tonight?" While he was there, he'd kind of look around. He'd look around and say, "So-and-so has a sick baby." He'd make him a note. He'd call that week. "How's your baby? I was just thinking about you. I want you to know we're praying for you." You don't know how much that might mean to an individual. Just a phone call. Just a word of encouragement. If the truth was known, hadn't about every one of us got our feelings hurt at one time or another because we was going through a tough time or something and we felt like nobody from the church didn't care? The truth is, it's not that we don't care. We just don't think. We figure somebody else will call, somebody else will visit, somebody else will take a meal, and nobody winds up doing it. We need to care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you know somebody's having a hard time, what's wrong with just writing them a little note, slipping it to them on the way out, and saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Hang in there. Stay right with God. I've had people do me that way a lot of times, just in the nick of time, and the Lord helped me. Acts chapter 9 said, Dorcas, after she was gone, Bible said she was full of good works and alms deeds that she did. And the people were all crying around when Dorcas died, showing the coats and the garments that she made while she was with him. I've heard of people growing up watching their mom and daddy win souls to the Lord, and they became soul winners. I remember David Cloud, our missionary to Nepal, who was run out of the country. Most people would say, all right, God's telling me to go home, enjoy the comforts of America. But he didn't. He went right back into that country and gave his life, and still is giving his life, far as I know, for people that are lost without God. We are to be devoted one to another. It's not got anything to do with whether I like you personally or not. It's got a matter to do is if I have the Word of God in me or not. Amen? And I'm right with God. Secondly, the Bible teaches us to give preference one to another. Bible said in honor, preferring one before another. Somebody said that a pianist makes solos sound good. And you can take some pianists, you can take some musicians, you can take some singers and give them a song and they can do wonders with it. They make it sound good. Did you know if you've got a talent to make other people look good, you ought to use that talent for the glory of God? Some people have an ability to just encourage people and get them on fire for God and make them what the very best that they can be. I've had people come to me lots of times. I had somebody stop me one time. They said, how you doing, Danny? I said, fine. How's your church? Fine. And I said, how's y'all? And they said, our church ain't so hot. You want some new members? And I thought, saying, no! Please don't come. You got that attitude towards your church. Amen? Listen, a person ought not to have that attitude about their church. You are the church, brother. If your church ain't right, it's reflection on you. Amen? Well, yep, you know, these people always, our church isn't this, our church isn't that. Why don't you tell the truth? I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't everything I should be. You're the church. I'm the church. But I'll tell you what, I just can't stand nobody throwing off on their church. Amen? But it may not be everything it's supposed to be, but it's still the best thing on this earth. Amen? Now, some people, the church they're in, they ought to get out of it. But if you got a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, man, you ought to give preference. You ought to make it look good. You know what love is? Love is slow to suspect, quick to trust. Most Christians are quick to suspect and slow to trust. All the day that we're living in makes us way. Somebody missed two services, and we're saying, yep. They're backslid. I knew they wouldn't last. I wondered where they'd been. I bet you they're out running around on their wife. I bet you know what love does? Love gives a person the benefit of a doubt. Wickedness looks at that person and say, yeah, I bet this and I bet that and I bet this. And you might be right. But that ain't the way a child of God's supposed to do. You let God handle it. Let God deal with that person. Love is slow to suspect and quick to trust. Love is slow to offend, quick to defend. Love is slow to expose and quick to shield. What does that mean? If I find out something about some of you people in here, my job's not to go as fast as can and make sure everybody knows about it. My job is to shield you and protect you and talk with you and pray with you and help you get right with God. Some people think that God has called them to make sure nobody gets away with nothing. As soon as they find out something bad about somebody, they want to make sure, bless God, I'll find out their wife finds out, and I'll find out the preacher. I'll make sure the preacher finds out about this, buddy. I'll tell you one thing, and everybody's going to know it. Well, I tell you what you better do. Get a hope and pray to God we don't find out everything about you. One time this lady she's getting mad about her church and everything, and a preacher went and visited her, and he was somebody went and visited from church, he wasn't a preacher, and she said, I ain't going back to hear that man preach. He said, why not? She said, oh, I'll tell you one thing, if you knew about that preacher, what I knew about that preacher. He said, now ma'am, I know your preacher. He's not perfect, but he loves the Lord, and he may have had his ups and downs, but he's a man of God trying to serve God. And she said, yeah, but if you knew about him, what I knew about him. He said, now ma'am, take it easy, have a little forgiveness. Give a little grace. Get forgiveness and go on. Sir. She said, but if you knew about that preacher, what I know about that preacher. Finally, he got aggravated and he said, ma'am,
If I knew what I knew about you, what God knows about you, I'd puke. She didn't think that was a bit funny. That's truth. You know what? That's the truth. The truth is, if we knew everything there was to know about all of us, but it'd make us throw up. But thank God we're saved by the grace of God, and the Bible tells us we ought to fear one another. I heard about a girl who was in college. She had a $6 an hour job, and her friend didn't have a job. She's praying, they're both praying for a friend to get a job, and a $9 an hour job come up, and she could have got it, but turned down the $9 an hour job so her friend could have a job. Most Christians don't act like that, do they? You know how many Christians that practice that kind of stuff anymore? You know what our Christianity is? Our Christianity, a lot of people, is, okay, I'll serve God as long as it don't put me out. As long as it don't cost me anything. As long as I don't have to sacrifice. But leave me alone in my security. Bible said prefer one another. I heard about a fellow that got cancer from carrying straps over his back in the jungle with Bibles on them. They operate on him. One of his converts said, Frank, I'll be outside if they need anything. One of his converts stood out there and he said, I'll stand outside if you need blood, you need skin, you need skin grafts, whatever you need, I'll stand out here and give it. Because that man had wore his shoulders out carrying Bibles in there to them heathen and preferring them before he did himself. Daniel Webster, daughter, was dying. He went to visit his daughter. She come out here, she's laying there on her deathbed. And the girl looked up and said, Father, why are you out on a cold day like this? And he said, that's my girl laying there dying, which most people be thinking about theirself. She's thinking about me out on a cold day. There's something wrong with our generation of Christians when all we think about is me, I, my feelings, what time I'm going to get to bed, how much money I'm going to make, me. There's something wrong with us! And we all get like this. We all get to a place once in a while where we're selfish and we think about ourselves and me, I'm not being treated right. I'm not getting what I deserve. You better thank God you're not, brother. You better thank God you're not. I'm sick and tired of hearing these whine stories of Christians here in America saying, well, I'm not, it's not fair. I'm not, it's not right. Everybody else has this and I don't have this. God hadn't sent me a husband. God hadn't sent me a wife. God hadn't given me a nice car. I'm having to wreck it. Listen, brother, you're sitting here in an air-conditioned building on $29,000 worth of seats. You're sitting here tonight saved by the grace of God, going to walk on gold streets one of these days. Ain't one of us got no reason to complain about anything. We're all shut the roof off this building tonight. Number three, Bible tells us to be of the same mind one toward another in chapter 15:5. Not be respected persons. That means it's hard to practice, easy to preach. I must have the same mind toward our special citizens as I do the richest person in the church, Todd. Or whoever it is. I seen his picture in the paper. He must be rich. Did you know something? I'm the most, a preacher like me, and you can take it forever, what you think about it. You know, a lot of times, as I said before, some kid that's a cheerleader at school will come in, and all the young people, man, she's a cheerleader. Hey, how are you? We're glad you come. Or a football player, boy, we're glad you're here. But a little old snotty nose, somebody come in, you know, and got about three teeth, and they stink real bad, or somebody like that, will just walk right by them like they don't even exist. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if He was here, He wouldn't do that. He'd make that one poor person feel just as welcome as a rich person. And I'll tell you what, we ain't got any problem with rich people around here. But I want to tell you something, brother. These doors are open to anybody. Anybody's welcome in this church. Listen, they may smell bad. They may have alcohol on their breath. You'd be surprised at the churches that would say, you're not welcome in here. We don't want your kind here. You're scum. You know, your car makes our parking lot look bad, but your car don't make our parking lot look bad. Sometimes it's a junkyard, and I think, instead of a parking lot. Don't you worry about it! You're just as important as anybody in here! Don't you let the devil tell you, well, you don't have on a suit and tie, so you're not welcome in this church. That's baloney. Brother, we're supposed to be of the same mind, one to another. You catch yourself doing this if you ain't careful. You notice how we let some people slide that we like, and we'll accuse the devil out of other people for doing the very same thing that we'll let our friends buy with. Let me talk to you ladies a minute. What your problem is? You let your personal likes and dislikes affect your Christianity. Some people asked me one time, they said, "Brother Danny, how you deal with all this stuff?" You know how I deal with it? Because I've got to remember, I'm serving God. I'm not serving you. I'm preaching the Lord for the Lord, not preaching for you. If you don't like it, I don't lose no sleep over it. If you don't want to help me, God will help me. If you kick me out of here tonight and say, "We don't want you to be a preacher no more," God's got something else for me down the road. I'm employed by Him. He pays my bills. He gives me help. He takes care of my family. You know how I deal with my relationship between Him and you, Him, me and Him, not you and me. But you know what some of you ladies do? You get personal with it. You say, "Well, I just don't like her." And you won't visit because you don't like her. Or you won't pray with that person because you don't like them. You can't do like that and live a Christian life. You can't. Here's what some of you ladies do. If that one woman in here that you don't like, if she has a fault in her life, you put a magnifying glass on it. Yeah. Oh, she did this. She did that. But that other person that you like can miss church, can do other things, do all kind of bad things. And you say, "Well, she really loves the Lord." And you're being respect to persons. Here's a woman, she's 10 and a half months pregnant. She has to sit on the front row because she can't get in between them pews. And there's two of them in the church like that. One of them misses church, and you say, "Well, I tell you what, just because she's pregnant, don't give her no excuse to lay out of church. She ought to be here. She's just using that for excuse. I know her. She's wicked. I know her. I knew her for years." But then when your friend gets like that, it, bless her heart, she's having sickness. And we'll let our friends slide and condemn the ones we don't like. Now that right there is what will make you be an immature, shallow, carnal child of God. You may have read the Bible through 80 times, and you may know as much doctrine as C.I. Schofield, but if you can't get that basic acceptance of each other and treat each other right, you're still a baby in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to grow up. Bible said, be of the same mind one to another. You can't let personal feelings determine how you serve God. There's people out there at youth camp, and people here at the church, and people, some of these visitors, some of these Yankees, man, they rub me the wrong way. But I have to pray about it, really. I think, "Lord, they're obnoxious, you know? Just that." And I had to say, wait a minute now. I can't be respect to persons. I find myself being drawn toward the Southerners a lot more. But I tell you what, man, you can't do that. They're saved of your brother. Don't boycott tithing because you don't like somebody. The devil's tricking you. If the devil, you know what he'll do? He'll cause you to get in a fuss with somebody's church or disapprove of me or you don't agree with something I do or say or something like that. You say, "Well, I'm just not going to visit. I'm not going to tie my way." You're the one that's missing out. The devil said, "They're laughing at you." Not only that, we're supposed to accept one another. Chapter 5, verse 7. You accept the Lord just like He is. He accepts you like you are. So we should accept your brother and your sister. Make visitors welcome in the church. Many people judge a church by the first impression they get of it. And the first impression they get of a church is how friendly people are to them. You ever went to a church and sat down and nobody spoke to you? You don't want to go back, do you? You know why all these false doctrine churches are growing so fast? Buddy, when a visitor walks in, all the women flock around them. "Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We're glad you're here!" And start shaking them, laying hands on them, and everything else. Here we are in the church. We'll walk right by them. Walk right by them, like, act like we don't see them. And then as soon as we get over here with our friends, we'll say, "Who is that? Who is that woman right over there?" I've seen that happen a bunch of times. I can sit up here and read your lips, man. A lot of people, you'll walk right by. You know what? We need a lot, especially ladies. Now, men do it pretty good. Especially ladies. Now, I'm not jumping on you ladies tonight. If you wasn't guilty, I wouldn't have preached to you. You ought to be friendly. We have some that do. And some, that a lot of times I have to ask, will you please speak to them people, visitors sitting there? We got visitors here tonight, ain't we? Brother over here from Lenore, him and his wife over here, they've been on vacation. Raise your hand now, brother. Many of you know that. And the lady from Shelby? Is it Shelby? Lattimore, works for the newspaper down there. She's here writing a story on me tonight. Now, they have put me in a paper two or three times down there. And, hey, how many of you people said, well, there's a nice family over there. Anybody speak to y'all before church, brother? Besides me? That one woman like that. Ah! Huh? Miss Parker, they've been friends 20 years. Now, what's the matter with you people? I know what some of you are saying. Brother Danny, I don't know who's a visitor and who ain't. Well, that may be true, but here's the way you do that. Here's the way you do that. Hey, how are you? And that's all you got to say. If you don't know their visitors, just say, hey, how are you? Sometimes those people say, we're glad to have you. Is this the first time? I say, I've been coming here 5 years now. You don't want to do that now. You don't want to do that. And I know all you sit back there and all you see is the backs of heads. But listen, I think we might be a little bit backslid there. I think it wouldn't hurt for some of you to... I think it wouldn't hurt if you see a visitor come in to sit with them and make them feel welcome. And that makes people enjoy the preaching and everything. They soak it in. We'll accept one another. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do with you. I'll not compromise with you on your sin. If you're doing wrong, I am going to tell you that you're doing wrong. My conscience, my Bible would not let me tell you that wrong is right. And I ain't going to do it. I can tell you that right now. And help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fair enough? I'm not going to say, well, you're all right when you ain't all right. And that's a hard... But I tell you what else I ain't going to do. I ain't going to shun you just because your shoes ain't the same color as mine. I know some Baptist churches that have gone off the deep end, brother. Ed Ballou preached that message. It was unbelievable. I never heard such in my life. He's in the pulpit, brother. I'd have thought he was just kidding. On Phariseeism. My Lord. He said he knew of a Baptist church. These were churches where he'd been. He said he knew of churches where that they had that 9-inch rule. Where a man had to sit 9 inches, I think, something like that, from every female in the church. And he said there's a fella stood in the back of the church, ruler. Really, that's what he said. How many of you heard him preach that up there in the old building? And put it between, and boy, he got going. He said, now me and mama don't get to sit together much in church. He said, boy, if he comes up and puts that ruler between me and my wife, he said, he's going to have a fill of knuckles or something like that. Mouthful. But that's, you know, that might be a good idea for some of these young people, but that you can't do that. It's ridiculous. The Bible don't say nothing about no ruler, no 9-inch rule.
Go ahead, brother.
I mean, he said he knew of one church where you could not join that church if you owned or rode a motorcycle. That's right. He said he knew another church where if the lady's shoes did not have straps on them on the back, they couldn't sing in the choir. Now, who's going to stand here and look at them? We're going to have a man sitting right here checking the lady's shoes as they come up. If you laid down $10,000 right here tonight and said, tell me what color of shoes any woman in this church has got on right now, I couldn't do it. My wife included. I don't even know what color dress she's got on. I think it's white or something. She had it on this morning. But I couldn't tell you what color shoes she's got on. You know why? I got more important things to do. I'm here to preach and worship God, not to put my magnifying glass on you and find out what sin I can find in your life. Lord have mercy. And listen, these churches that preach this stuff, they are as dead as last year's bird nest. Listen, bro, I believe in preaching the Word of God straight as a gun barrel, but you can't get up on a bunch of stuff like that. It's crazy. Churches, I know churches where you're not allowed to preach in them if you've got wire-rimmed glasses. That's right. Wire-rimmed glasses. No, I'm talking about Baptist church. I mean, these preachers preach on the biggest camp meetings in America. And say it's a sin to wire. Now, I think some of them's great men, but the devil's just tricked them, see? That's stupid. That's ridiculous. One man said the hippies started them wire glasses. And anything that a hippie does, a Christian ain't supposed to do. Ed, Brother Ed said, Lord, if them hippies start liking cornbread and buttermilk, I've had it. I'm telling you, man, don't go off the deep end. It's real tempting that when you get cleaned up to start looking at everybody else and saying, all right, they're not up to my standards. They're not up to my standards. Well, maybe they ain't, but you didn't get there. You love that weaker brother and help them and feed them and be good and let God work on them the way the Lord worked on you. I'll guarantee you one thing. When the Holy Ghost gets hold of a person, He'll clean them up. He'll clean them up. Number 5, it said, punish one another. Chapter 15, verse 14. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Kind of as a man on a train one day. And every time a door would open, it'd squeak. There's riding a train. Like that. And this fella pulled out one of them little cans of oil, you know, like people used to carry, where you pop it on the bottom and it squirt out oil. And he give it a squirt or two, fixed it and made it stop. And he said, I always carry a little oil with me. There's so many things that squeak. And that's the way a Christian ought to do. A Christian ought to carry around a little oil with them to put on little squeaky things that they run into. In your home, sometimes there'll be a squeak. Put a little oil on it. Your home ought to be the next closest thing to heaven on this earth, not a battleground and a hell on earth. Amen. My job, somebody asked me out to camp, they said, man, how do you keep your cool here and all this? I said, well, because if I didn't, it'd break out into World War II out here. You can't have, you know, you have 200 people in a place that sleeps 160 and it's 100 degrees outside for 4 and 5 days, son, they're going to be some clashing somewhere. And the devil and demons and everything trying to stir it up. There's one of the counselors from another church got mad at me out there the other day and just raked me over the cold. I mean, boy, this person let me have it. A lady, she got all upset and let me have it. And it was something that I couldn't control. I didn't have no control over at all. It's just it's like an accident. Something happened that couldn't be helped. And boy, she just giving me down the road. This isn't supposed to be this way. And boom, 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 boom. And I was trying to calm her down. I said, now, ma'am, let me explain. Now, ma'am, let me explain. If you'll just let me explain. And she said, boom, like that. And boy, some of these other guys, Brother Duran, I mean, he was ready to hit her. And some of these other guys said, man, I'd have just jacked jaw. Why didn't you just hit her, preacher? Why didn't you just let her have it? And I said, because I can't do that. And they said, man, why didn't you just go over there and just knock her head off? One said, who died and made her God? And I said, well, here's the way you got to look at it. Somebody's got to keep peace around here, and that's my job. If I don't keep peace around here, ain't going to be no peace around here. And I said, you got to keep your cool. And I've been blessed out lots of times. And the way to do when somebody blesses you out is just be nice to them. Just be nice. Keep you cool, man. If you fight back, you're just bad as they are. Cool it. And of course, later on, she came back and apologized and said she overreacted and said she was sorry. And she's a good woman. She loves the Lord. She didn't mean nothing by it. She just, you know, when you're real hot and you're wore out and it's 100 degrees and you ain't had no sleep, it's easy to, you know, jump the gun a little bit. It's immaturity is what it is. And plus, sometimes people, when they're working with a bunch of kids, they have unrealistic expectations. They think you can have 200 kids at camp and everything runs smooth. That's crazy to think that. You're out of your mind if you think that. I tell them first thing, we're going to have problems. You think a devil don't hate that place? But we got to learn to admonish one another. Admonish one another. Now listen here. You walk talks and you talk talks. Hear me? Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Something like that. You know that? See if I can say that right. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. If you walk's talking something that your talk ain't talking, they ain't going to listen to what your talk's talking. Amen. Number 6, we ought to love one another. 13:8. However, what I belong,
Listen to this, what somebody said. Half of what I have belongs to those in need. Lord have mercy. There's no living for others without loving others. The best days you have when you forget yourself and learn to live for others. You say, Brother Danny, I give to missions. Yeah, you're like that fellow that said, to love the world, to me it is no chore. My only problem is my neighbor next door. I heard about one, these two Christian women that got into it at church, and one of them, they fussed, had it out right there in the hall, one of them pushed the other one or something like that. And she went home and started praying, and the Lord said, you got mad at that woman at church. And she said, well, I just don't like her, Lord. I don't like her. I want her out of place. And the Lord said, will you love her for my sake? And she said, yeah, for your sake, I'll do it. And she went back and got things patched up and got right with that woman, and they tolerated each other for the Lord's sake. That's what we got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to tolerate and love each other for the Lord's sake. You say, well, Brother Danny, so-and-so hurt my feelings, and they owe me money, and they won't pay it, and somebody done me wrong, and then they go to church every Sunday night. Will you love them for the Lord's sake? We do it for the Lord's sake. You say, well, they done me wrong. You done him wrong. He loves you. Amen. They cheated me. You cheated him. Amen. He loves you, don't he? He accepts you, don't he? It's your fault. Yeah, and it was your fault that Christ got nailed to the cross. Amen. If he can accept you, you can accept them. If he can love you, you can love them. Can you do it for his sake? You know what I'm asking everybody in here to do tonight? If you have that much bitterness in your heart for anybody in this room, I'm asking you, will you forget it for his sake? Forget your pride. Forget who's right and who's wrong. Forget your jealousy. Forget your hurt feelings. And just say, I'll do it for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Salute one another finally. When you see one of your brethren uptown, don't turn your nose up and dodge them. Listen. If one of your brothers and sisters walks up where you work and you're ashamed of them in front of the crowd you work with, something's wrong with you. Don't be ashamed of them. Don't be ashamed of them. What if I'm working, see, and I'm half backslid and I'm worldly and wicked and everything, and here comes Boas up and he's, praise God, Brother Danny, how you doing? And I'm just kind of like, get out of here, man. You know, I don't want him to embarrass me in front of all these friends of mine. Chances are you're a hypocrite if you wouldn't want me or these other people around you with your friends. You might need to change friends. Amen. Salute one another. Don't be ashamed of each other. I don't know if that song's in our book or not, brother, about others. It's not. But it goes like this. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Have you ever looked at your prayer life and seen yourself? Think about that. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep, and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. I like this verse, it said, and when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won, and still bethink of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. Happy days you'll ever have in your life is when you give and do something for somebody else. I heard a man one time, he said, I think y'all can come on and be getting a song, Brother John. I heard a man one time said, he got in a habit of coming in at night, and if you're like I am, yeah, I got a thing on my desk, and I pick all change out of my pocket and just lay it down in this little round thing. Sometimes it just runs over, and I'll grab a handful of it. He got him a jar and kept it at home.
And every day when he come in, he just reached in his pocket and whatever change in there, he'd throw it in that jar. And once a month, he'd get it out. And it'd be sometimes $20, $25. And he'd say, that's for others. And he'd take somebody out to eat or just buy somebody a dress or just not. You know, most of the time we say, well, I can't do nothing for nobody. I can't even afford to pay my own bills. You'd be surprised just throwing back a little change like that and put a little box down at your house and say, others. And then one day you get to look around church and say, that was little Savannah. She come up here and sung a while ago. Here, Kevin, take that little girl out and buy her a brand new dress. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Say, man, he had $20 just throw away. Nah, you got it too. You got it too. If you just put back a quarter every day, 50 cents, something like that, just do something for others. I told you before, Brother Carmy Ledford, he's not here tonight. More than once this has happened. I've had somebody take out to eat, or a lot of times somebody will be here, preach or something, I'll take them out to eat or something like that. And there has, it don't happen very often, but there has been a time or two when, you know, I was running low. And I don't, that, you know, that's usually not the case, but once in a while. And that's, I've seen it happen before when I didn't have maybe no money to eat on hardly on me. And he'd walk up and I'd feel something in his hand. And it'd be $20. And I'd always, of course, say, no, you don't have to do that. Inside I said, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, you're a hypocrite like that, you know. I feel bad taking it, but you think, he said, well, the Lord told me to do it, preacher. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how the Lord just moves on? And if we'll do that, boys, no telling what God could do for us. I want our church to be like a big family, close to each other. If you've got anything in your heart against anybody here or anything like that, and I'm just preached that tonight. I don't, you know, I have no idea. I've been gone so much, I don't know what's going on hardly. But if there's hard feelings, why don't you just come down here to the altar tonight and get it out and say, Lord, for your sake, I'm going to bury the hatchet. I'm going to do away with this thing, and I'm not going to let it affect me anymore. I'm going to be just right with you. And do my part. Let's stand. Let's stand. Sing what number?
337.
Number 337. Everybody sing it. If you need to come to the altar tonight, come on right now. Come on right now.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad.
Amen. Come on, come on. Come on right now. Amen. That's right.
Carry the sun, yes. Where darkness is ripe. Making the sorrowing glad, make me a blessing.
That's right.
Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine.
All right, let's sing. Everybody sing it.
Blessing.
But Lord, I'm tired of being stingy.
Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today.
Thank God. You mean that tonight? Can you mean that? Can you sing that and mean it? You say, Lord, I just want to forget about myself and do something for somebody else. You say, well, I give all time, preacher. It's not fair. Somebody else ought to. Don't worry about somebody. You just do what you're supposed to. I'll do what I'm supposed to. God will take care of your brothers and your sisters and everybody else. I'm not going to answer for what everybody else does. I'm going to answer for what I do. Let's pray, God, make me a blessing. Sing it, brother.
Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed.
Amen.
Unto your mission be true.
Sing it.
Make me a blessing.
Thank God.
Make me
Amen. Say it, folks.
Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Boy, that sure said.